You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the China Shop. Everybody get inside. We're kicking the doors open. We're so glad you're here. We got a great show for you today. I'm Shopkeeper Dan. With me as always is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. Welcome back, Kyle. How are you doing?
Doing good. Got my chair back finally. sent George back to Trade Pro.
He kept your ass grooves warm, though. He did.
He really did. It's actually kind of surprising. Like, the indention didn't change. We must have the same ass.
Oh, on that note, come on into the shop today. Sit back, relax. Hedge against the rage machine. We'd love to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here smashing our way into a complete set of fine china, sharing our ever-growing knowledge and strategies for maximizing gains and cutting losses. If you're new to the shop and stock trading in general, you can always check out the Knowledge Center on financialineptitude.com, or you can give one of our beginning trading episodes a listen. We'll have all those links in the episode description. But the best place to be is sign up, join our Discord server. Kyle and I are on there every day. We're sharing charts, trade ideas, entries, exits. It's all happening there on the Discord, so we just love it there. It's a great time. When you sign up, when you join, send us a private message. Send us a private message with your mailing address. We'll send you a Smash It Yourself mug straight from the shop.
Or shot glass.
We also got those I Got Smashed in the Shop shot glasses.
Actually, I'll probably send you both.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Join now for a limited time. You can get both.
While supplies last. Hey, did you get yours finally, by the way?
While supplies last. I did. Okay. I did. I've handed a few of them out to some local listeners, and I have tested the shot glass, and it does indeed properly hold alcohol and transmit it to your mouth in all of the expected manners that you would want from a shot glass.
It's definitely a vessel for containing liquid.
Yeah. Yes. It took me 8 or 9 test runs, but it worked pretty good.
Good, good. Glad to hear it.
Well, as you can tell, we've got a rambling, rambunctious, rousing episode for you today.
Did you write those down, or did you just come up with those on the spot?
I just came up with those on the spot.
Pretty good. I'm impressed.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Lots of market-moving news, plenty of stocks on the radar, and more options than a hungry baby in a strip club.
The milk's gone bad.
Oh, reach out to us. We love your messages and comments on Twitter, Facebook, and Discord. If you're old school, you can send us an email to the number 2bulls@financialineptitude.com. That's 2bulls@financialineptitude.com. Or you can give us a phone call. That's what I prefer. 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made. Or maybe you are babysitting in a sleepy little town getting stalked by a crazy guy who broke out of the asylum and he starts killing all your friends.
Mm.
Trying to kill you.
I hate it when that happens.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. We just love it when you reach out. Of course, that would be an awkward time to reach out. Somebody stalking you, trying to kill you. Like, hey, guys in the China shop, somebody's trying to kill me. I need help. Why did I call you and not 911?
I hope you listen to this quickly.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. Anyway, sorry I cut you off.
We did get a message on Facebook. Well, I think before I was gone. We've been kind of chatting around back and forth. It was from Jeremy. He's contacted the show a couple different times and always got some good stuff to share with us. But he suggested that we do the Choco Loco challenge as one of the bet consequences.
Oh.
And if you haven't heard of this, this is this like 2 million Scoville unit piece of chocolate. And he showed me a link of somebody eating it, and it seemed pretty brutal.
Oh, God.
But I know you mentioned it's something on your bucket list to eat something like this.
Yes. It's true, but I don't know why. I'm terrified. I sweat when I eat curry.
Well, I don't know that we necessarily have to do that one. I was actually thinking maybe we should modify that and do like the Hot Ones Challenge or something, you know, just to celebrate like our 1 year properly.
Okay.
Have you watched Hot Ones where the guys eat the increasingly spicy hot wings?
Oh, of course. It's a fucking great show.
Yeah.
Great show. Is that what you want to do? You want to get a bunch of wings and cook them up and eat them on a live stream?
I think that sounds like a little more fun, because then we can maybe, if anyone's got questions for us, we can try to answer those as we increasingly get hotter and hotter wings.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on and talk about some bet results, Kyle.
Show news.
Let's talk about, do we got any show news? What's happening with the show news?
I think this week we've got the Bahcast After Hours special coming out.
Oh, yeah, those guys are funny.
Yeah, you should check them out. Those guys are funny. Also, a big thank you to the Made You a Mixtape guys for giving us that promo. They're playing ours. We played theirs for this episode, so if you're wondering why that showed up when you first started, that's why. Venture Point, we've got their interview that we're recording this Tuesday. So that should be coming out the week after. And then we've got Shahar Abrams after that. And I think we should be working on trying to get Vico back.
Yes.
It's been a little while since we chatted with him.
As I'm going to be using options to pay my bills while I'm watching futures levels, I definitely need to talk to Vico.
Yeah, I figured you'd want to have a chat with him. Yeah. Yeah, I figured that would be good for both of us. But yeah, that's what we got coming up. We had poll results from last week that you guys forgot to mention. Do you want to hit those here real quick before we go to the bet?
Oh, yes. Yes. Recording difficulties on my end had me leave a whole bunch of my notes behind. And Dan failure. Anyway, yes, I do want to talk about that. We had our last Twitter poll was, are these Twitter polls helping us drive engagement? 21% said, yes, I just retweeted. 64% said, no, but I liked it anyway. 14% ? I liked and retweeted.
It was actually the most engagement we've gotten out of a poll, surprisingly. Even though everyone said no, we'll probably keep doing it for a bit.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, they're fun. I enjoy them.
Fun.
Let's get the bet over with.
Okay, I'm excited because AMC did me good, but I don't get to talk first.
No, I get to.
I believe George set you up for some madness that did not work out too well for you, huh?
Well, it actually didn't lose me any money. I went a little liberal with his plan, because he initially wanted to short it at open, write it down to 63-something, and then put a stop at 65.25, but if it went to his low point, he wanted to flip around and buy it. I interpreted that as if he got stopped out, that he was going to just go ahead and buy it at that point, too, and flip long. So, initially shorted at 64.68, lost about 450. Went long at 65.25 when the short stopped out, and then finished it at $66.23. So I think I lost about 450 initially, but it was still, I think I made about $7 on the other end. So I finally ended out at 503.04.
Not bad.
And that was on hack ETF.
Yeah, something that I am personally bullish on long term.
Yeah, that's why I was surprised when he said he wanted to short it initially. Wait a minute. No, we just talked about how much this cybersecurity is going to do well. Why are you shorting this? He wants his point. He wanted his point.
You're right. His technical analysis level. He's like, that's the level I want.
Yeah. It's better than my first of the month usually goes, where I lose like $50 to $75 and then been coming from behind the entire month.
Right? Well, you can make $3 and still be the underdog, because I picked AMC, which opened the week at $41.59. I said I was going to sell half at $48, and it hit $47.85.
So close.
Turning around.
So close.
So close. sometimes those resistances drift a little bit,
right?
Depending on the cycle. Ended the week at 44.02 though, so I still had a healthy gain. Ended the week at $529.21. However, Random's Bitcoin, which I will forever refer to as the whole Bitcoin fiasco.
Right.
Bitcoin at the open of trading on Monday was trading at $47,541. At the close of trade on Friday, close of the stock market trading, Bitcoin was at $50,726, which puts Random up 6.7% at $533.50.
How the fuck did you end up getting Bitcoin on the Random stock? I'll never figure that out.
I was using a GitHub Random thing, and it was the first one that came up, and I said it out loud, and I laughed, and George was like, yeah, Bitcoin. I was like, fuck it, let's go with Bitcoin.
Ah, oh, jeez. I said in the month review that, Random needed help, so.
There we go, yeah.
And hey, it could have been your pick if you would have picked the other consequences.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I could up $4.29.
Could have been.
Yeah, well, that's not how I want to win the bet.
I don't care as long as I win. Speaking of which, I think I gave you your first assignment, which is going to be split pea soup. When's your plans for sharing that?
I plan on going to the store either today or in the morning tomorrow, and I'm going to have it for lunch tomorrow.
Nice. I did want to say, just so you know, I think it might actually be a breakfast food.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll be going to the store today, and I'll be having it for breakfast tomorrow.
I don't know if that's true or not. I thought I'd heard something about that in passing. I think lunch is fine. But you do need to wear your flannels or denim jacket if you have one. Your Canadian tuxedo.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Should I also be eating it with the front edge of an ice hockey skate to skewer the food?
I mean, if you had a hockey stick that's kind of curved shape, you might be able to get that in there.
Yes, I eat the soup with a hockey stick.
Just have somebody slap shot it into your mouth.
Oh, yeah. We love you, Canada.
All right. Should we move this rambling, disappointing show forward? Get to the news.
Well, it's all for the money. Tune to the show. Need a good story so my margin grows, or won't you? Listen to all our news. You might learn some things with the China Shop Market News.
Well, Kyle, I think there was a big Fed thing that happened this week.
Ah, yeah, there was the non-farm payroll report came out, and that was a big miss.
Big swing and a miss.
The expectation was 720,000, and I think they only added 235,000.
Yes, 720,000 expected, 235,000 added.
Let's see, unemployment rate fell to 5.2%. That was in line. Leisure and hospitality jobs were flat during the month after leading the way for much of the year. And wages rose at 4.3% year over year. So not all bad, just the growth was not nearly what was expected. But yeah, that's not necessarily bad news, right?
The market didn't think so.
Well, one of the things that's hanging over the market's head, right, is that risk of tapering, or the threat of it, that keeps popping up.
Yeah, they're going to stop buying bonds.
Bad economic data just increases the chances that gets pushed back further. So that's why this could have turned positive. I think George was... Did George mention that in the last episode? Or was it just in my chats with him?
I don't remember talking about tapering in the last episode.
Okay. Bottom line is that even though it was a bad report, it looks like it might actually be good news for as far as the market's concerned. Because there is the potential that pushes back tapering if we continue to get not great economic data.
And I guess, and it really makes sense that we're in a bull market and the news came out and the result of the news is they're not going to change anything they're doing. It would make sense that the bull market continues.
But I don't think anyone's actually commented on that yet. I think that's just everyone guessing at this point, right?
Making the assumption.
Right. This is interesting, though. The leisure and hospitality jobs have been the primary driver of all the gains at 350,000 per month for the last 6 months.
Yeah.
That finally stalled this last month, and I think that's right at the time when you were trying to get a replacement for yourself.
Yep.
You've been having trouble finding somebody. I think you had a couple positions where you work where you guys haven't been able to fill. Is that correct?
Yeah. I know I've only been doing it for like a month and a half, but as management, like, I'm hiring for the hotel, mm-hmm. I'm interviewing, I'm making all those decisions. I have a stack of applications, and I'll call everybody to get an interview, and maybe out of five, I'll get one person to schedule an interview that they don't show up for.
Wow.
The only way I've been getting positions filled is when people walk in and hand me an application, I say, can you do an interview right now?
Mm-hmm.
And if I interview them right then and I say, can you start tomorrow? They take the job.
Wow.
That's what I found works. We've hired three people and two of them were that way. One of them interviewed the next day and came in for a scheduled interview, but we'd already hired the lady from the day before. So we were like, we'll give you a call. And that's actually, I was pushing to get her on the front desk. I was like, that lady be perfect. Let's get her on the desk so I can leave.
Well, it's funny that, I mean, because you just posted an article, well, I guess it's not really funny. You just posted an article about, what do they call it, the Great Resignation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we talked about it a couple times about just how I think this pandemic has led to people reevaluating their career choices.
Yes, big time.
And a lot of them have decided that they just don't want to go back. And I think this is going to be really bad for like skill trades. I mean, the industry that I was in, the steel industry, we'd already been having trouble getting like electricians and trying to fill people taking those roles.
Oh, yeah.
That might be a good poll question. Is your industry experiencing a labor shortage? And if so, I want to know what that industry is.
Yeah.
Let me make a note of that. Write that down.
Well, at least with hospitality and leisure, at least with my experience in hotels, I think it had, you know, a lot of hotels went to skeleton crews to try and survive the pandemic when all the travel stopped. And so travel started again.
Right.
So all the hotels started hiring. And all the people who wanted to go back to work right away got to pick and choose where they went.
Mm-hmm.
And they all started working where they wanted to work. And now it's just, I think more than half people putting in applications are just doing it to keep the unemployment benefit going.
Right. But a lot of places aren't really, I mean, there's usually a time limit on those, usually like 6 months.
Yeah.
And there's also, I mean, we've got to be past that for most of these people, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of the states have actually started, you know, cutting those too. So they're not getting like the massive benefits that they were initially. I wonder if it's just a lot of people coming to the realization that, hey, you know, wages haven't really kept up with everything else in the last, you know, three decades. Now's our chance to force that change. If you want me to come back, you know, you're going to have to pay me.
Yeah. And the people who are actually genuinely looking for a job, a couple people I called, like, took jobs in the day it took me to call them, you know?
Yeah, because if you want to work, you've got your choice.
That's why I started hiring on the spot. I'm like, shit, if you're actually looking for a job, I'm going to offer it to you now. And if you take it, then you'll come start working for me.
Man, this is a good time to be a worker.
It really is. Well, and that's part of why I was like so willing to make the jump, as I realized, worst case scenario, I have to go back to a job. And I have my pick right now.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, I will be able to go to a hotel that's going to pay me more than this other one.
You can almost dictate your terms. Yeah. Okay. All right. What other stories you got? I think we talked about that enough.
Reddit's doing their IPO. You think they're going to be a meme stock? Ba-dum-bum.
I posted that on Twitter. So, what's the ticker going to be? So, is it going to be MEME or is it going to be WSB?
WSB.
Are you buying Reddit?
I don't play IPOs.
I don't either, but is that something you'd want to have a piece of, like, once it settles out?
What, for, like, a long-term portfolio?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm fine trading anything.
Yeah, I'm just curious. What do you think of Reddit's prospects as a company going forward?
Oh, I don't know how they make money.
That's what I was trying to figure out.
Maybe data tracking?
Probably ads. It's got to be ads. Has to be ads. Because they do have a lot of promoted posts and other things like they do. It should follow the same model that like Twitter and Facebook do. And if that's the case, it might actually be a solid company once you can take a look at those financials and see how they're doing.
I do know that they've got like coins and stuff that you can buy from them to reward other posts.
Yep.
You can buy different tokens.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting revenue stream to me. And I constantly see people do give out the tokens. So
yeah, and they're usually getting yelled at later, like, save it for the stock. Don't give me awards. Yeah, I think Reddit's an interesting company. I'm really curious to take a look at the financials when they come out, once they actually file for that IPO.
That wasn't actually my news story. That was I just wanted to throw that joke out there because I thought it was really funny. But yeah, good content.
I like it, yeah.
I guess I'll throw it over to you because I know we both want to talk about this story. The FAA.
Oh, yeah. Virgin Galactic just can't get... they just can't have two good news stories in a row. They announced that they're going to have their first commercial flight like at the end of September, sometime in October. And then the FAA comes out and basically grounds the entire flight because of the Richard Branson flight.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently while they were doing the boost phase, they fell outside of their protected flight envelope. Not on a horizontal scale, like they dipped below. One of the warning lights went off. It's kind of unclear, because I've seen some sources say it was just the yellow light. Others say that the red light came on. That's like a big deal for them, because that basically is indicating whether or not they have enough momentum to get back to the spaceport. So like the yellow is like correct now. Red is like too late. Obviously, they were able to correct it, but I think it was like over a minute that they were outside of that window. It sounds like they were also a little late in reporting that to the FAA, but it's really strange to me because I was pretty sure that the FAA had representatives at Mission Control. So if they were hiding that, then they were really working hard to not let them know what happened.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, what's that red light over there?
Oh, that's nothing.
Oh, that's just Bill's cigarette lighter. Don't worry about it.
That's nothing. Don't worry about that. Look over here.
What? Oh, we're getting our Christmas lights up early. Look, there's a green one. See?
Was there somebody in Mission Control whose job was to jingle keys? What's that red light? Shh. Oh, shiny.
Hey, check out this binder. It's full of pictures of lakes that look like dicks.
Oh, my God. Okay, so anyway, back to the story there. The Virgin Galactic's basically indefinitely grounded until the FAA's incident report comes out, determining they need to determine that there is no danger to public or the crew or the passengers.
Yeah.
And I know the FAA doesn't really work too fast, so we'll have to see whether or not this impacts that commercial flight that's supposed to be happening, you know, at the end of this month, beginning of next month.
The one we entered a contest to win tickets to?
No, that one will be the first like commercial flight for like the private sector, not research.
Oh, okay.
That flight, if we win, would be sometime within the next 18 months.
That's a long time. I thought it was happening like this fall.
Oh, no. Not quite that fast. Well, see, as soon as this next flight happens, they're supposed to be going through like a 6-month overhaul of the carrier plane. So there was going to be a long delay before the next flights happened after this last one anyway.
Okay.
But sounds like, I don't know, they may just end up taking the plane and just throwing it in there and then doing that work now. Because if you're just sitting around waiting, just wasting time.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't think the FAA is necessarily the fastest organization. I don't think any government really is.
No. Bureaucracy is a slow crawl at best.
Yeah.
There was something else that happened with space. With the, I should say, not Virgin Galactic, but this the billionaire space.
Oh, God, yeah. Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos have been going at it on Twitter, and it's awesome. let's see here. Elon Musk claims that Bezos retired in order to pursue a full-time job filing lawsuits against SpaceX. That was one of the tweets. And then I posted another one in the Discord. Let me see if I can find it.
Blue Origin hiring former Amazon consultants.
Shady Amazon consultants, I think he said. He said that they should spend their money on developing a lunar lander rather than hiring shady lobby executives.
Musk tweeted that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. He is entertaining on Twitter, that's for sure.
Oh, God, I know. It's one of the persons I'm so glad I followed when I first started setting that up. Always a source of entertainment. All right. Let's move on. Let's talk about some trading.
Oh, no. We're going to talk about how...
Let's talk about...
Some loans are just a big mistake. Up over your head, drowning in those rates and fees, someone left unsaid. This is the right kind of lender to find the thing that fits your needs, and you just have to call her, cause you know that she was born to be. She's a loan maker, dream banker, debt saver. Won't you call her up and see? She's a loan maker, dream banker, debt saver. Won't you call her up? Go, go, go!
Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender. Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor, focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She's got over 20 years of experience helping thousands of people, whether purchasing, refinancing, even reverse mortgages. Sue has got the skills to help you get smaller bills. Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, nice ride.
Trademark Dan. She's licensed in 27 states and growing. So reach out and see what she can do for you. Best way to reach her is you can just give her a call, 520-977-7904. You can shoot her an email at spullen@fairwaymc.com. That email again is spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number 206048. So reach out and see what Sue can do for you.
And Two Bulls in a China Shop is a proud affiliate of Trade Pro Academy.
Trade Pro!
Woo! Trade Pro Academy is the educational platform that offers institutional trader development programs to new and experienced independent traders. And their courses are amazing.
I second that.
They got a great staff of highly knowledgeable, successful traders, and there's no better place that we've found to learn all that you need to know to be a successful trader. Find them online at tradeproacademy.com, or you can use our affiliate link in the episode description. I will say, I've been chatting with George about trying to work out a discount for our users, so if you are interested, give us a couple weeks while we try to sort that out. I know that's something that people have been asking about before, and I think that Trade Pro Academy just changed their either marketing structure or their team, whoever's doing all their you know, running this program.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we'll have something worked out here in the next couple weeks. Get you guys a discount, get you guys learning from the best.
All right, Kyle, let's talk about some trading.
Okay.
Okay.
You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to sold 'em, know when to walk away. Those calls are done. You never count your money when you're holding on to contracts. There'll be time enough for counting when the option's exercised.
Well, I feel like I've been talking a lot, so why don't you go ahead and lead us off?
All right. Well, I had a pretty good week.
Yeah?
I had a pretty good week, especially I started out really strong. I made some trades on Monday. I was watching eBay. It hit the level with the volume. You know, I was watching on the 5-minute chart specifically for my trigger. I had drawn levels on it, and it broke through the level with significant volume. So I picked up some calls at 77 cents in the morning at 9:30, and about 1 o'clock, I managed to sell those for 99 cents.
Nice.
Not the biggest gain in the world, but it's about 30%. Dude. Not bad for a day, right? Not bad for a trade.
30% on a day trade. If you can do that every day.
Yeah, right. You're gold.
Yeah, exactly.
Next day on Tuesday, I did much, much better. I bought in the morning about the Ameritrade timestamp is like 9:43.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, within like 15 minutes of it opening, I was like, oh, look at what Disney's doing. This is beautiful.
Bought them at
58 cents.
I was watching you make that trade. That's the second week in a row you've like crushed a Disney trade, isn't it?
Yeah. Watching the same set of stocks is the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Day trading options. Like I haven't been looking at my 52-week high list because it's not relevant to me anymore in my trading style.
It's just a distraction.
It's great for breakout trades and finding new stuff, but I'm getting so much more value out of watching the same stuff.
Right.
So, like, I'm able to set these levels on Disney, and they come back into play.
Right.
I'm able to look and say, like, oh, wow, if it breaks that resistance, it's going to probably not find its next resistance till here.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what happened on Tuesday morning. Disney strong out of the gate, picked up, I think it was around 180, picked up $182.50 calls, picked them up at 58 cents, sold them 35 minutes later at $1.16. Doubled.
Wow.
100% profit. Straight up 100%. I hit 100% and I was like, I'm not even letting one ride. I'm not letting any ride.
Yeah, just take it.
I'm just taking 100%. Boom.
So it's funny you mentioned like the looking at the levels, like CVM, I made a trade on them this last week. I tried to stagger my entry. I think I had a lot at 11.25, a lot at 11, and a lot at 10.75 to try to pick up some more shares because when I went back and looked at the chart, because I saw it broken up over 11, I had a bunch of levels already drawn out from like the first time we were looking at it back when we first started like taking the foundations course. And like, it was just screaming to me like, oh, it just broke above this level. Here's the resistance that's now going to be support. You know, I put my orders in. I got filled on the top third at 11.25. And then like the next 2 days, like the stock traded up to 12.75, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I love using TradingView. Anytime I get a new stock that somebody wants me to look at, I'll plot the levels on there. And then every now and then, I like to just go back and look at it and see how they did. Because, yeah, sometimes you'll find some opportunities and something on work that you did like months ago and forget all about and go back and look. You're like, oh, shit. Buy it now.
Buy it now. Later in the week, I traded some Peloton puts.
Mm-hmm.
It was my third day trade. That was my first big swing and a miss. I bought them at 67 cents, sold them a couple hours later at 48 cents. So, you know, it happens. I've been trying to work $100. I put $100 in last week, and I was like, I'm gonna work this $100 up.
Right.
And so with those three trades, I'm still doing just fine. I ended the week Thursday. I bought some ExxonMobil puts that I held overnight. I bought them at 89 cents. I had my levels. I got spooked. I didn't trade my plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I left money on the table because it went over. I had a level set, and I was like, if it goes over this level, that's when I get out.
Right.
And then like the next day, it had a level that day that like it hit over that level. And I was like, oh no, if I can get out now, at least I'll break even. I got out and spooked out, which isn't the worst thing in the world.
No.
I bought them at 89, sold them at 92. You know, I made 3 cents a contract. Not, you know, it's not a loss.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If your plan needs to be able to change if there's some new conditions that pop up that spook you. As long as those conditions are making you, you know, protect your capital, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Everything that we've learned is all about, like, the best way to make money is to stop losing as much, right?
Yeah.
So, I like what you did. I liked just getting out, breaking even on something, and living to fight another day. Because it worked out for you this time, right?
It did. I would rather... It's true. Looking at the big picture, I'd rather get spooked out of, you know, 10 positions.
Spooked out of something and break even.
Right. Because most of the time... Most of the time. At least half the time, I'm going to be right. Right, to get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, ExxonMobil, I don't know what happened, but, you know, it was a false break above that level. It didn't even touch the one in my original trading plan, and it fell back down, and it broke through the support that I was watching after that. So, yeah, what are you going to do?
No.
I should have stopped watching. No, I can't stop watching, because I've only got my small set.
Well, no, you just move on from that, and now you're looking for the next opportunity. Now you're looking for it to come up to a point where it's cheap to buy what you want and ride it for the next breakdown.
So, with the day trading options, I found I only really want to draw the levels off the last 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's good to have those levels exist for all time, but when I'm looking for the structure to follow, I'm not like, okay, let's look at the daily chart to see whether it's an overall bull or bear.
Right.
I'm looking, like, my biggest time frame is 5 days. So, it's already, like at any time, I can look at ExxonMobil, find the levels, and decide to make a trade.
Yep.
You know, that's the beauty of having I think I have 12 on my list.
You should post that list in your in our Discord for everybody else who's listening. They want to see which ones you're looking at.
Yeah. Tomorrow, I'm going to go through all of them and set the levels from the last 5 days. And I'll post all of that stuff on the Discord so people can keep an eye and watch it themselves.
Awesome.
I got one. I did one other thing with the VIX, and I lost 50%, and that's all you need to know.
I followed you on that Piton, but I kind of flip-flopped around. When I was looking at it initially, I had that big gap down, and my initial thought was like, oh, I don't want to be on the downside of this. I'd rather be on the upside because that gap's probably going to get filled. But I bought the puts because, I don't know, it fell a lot and I don't know why. Just, you know, going back, I'm not sure why I traded this. I don't think I should have.
Dan's on a hot streak.
Yeah, I think that was more what it was. I got a little bit better of a fill than you did. But the good thing that happened with that is I actually put in a stop loss and protected it. So I bought them at like 55 cents and sold them at 40 cents. And then the next day, I decided, you know, I want to see that gap get filled. So I bought some $105 calls at $2.40, and I think about another one at $2.35, so like a $2.37 average. And this is where like the bad of the week is probably going to come from. And that's at the end of that day, I had a chance to break out, or you know, get out of that at basically break even, and I set like a really aggressive limit order, thinking that, because I see a lot of times like people who want something, they're going to pay up like in the last like 10 seconds to close. Looking at the structure of that, I was like, man, this is really bearish. I don't know why I'm on this side of it. I think my initial call was probably correct, but I didn't get filled on that day. And then I basically sold the next morning for $2. So again, I protected my capital, which was good, but just that trade in general, I wasn't really happy with how that kind of went down. Let's see. The other options trade I made was I bought Boeing 1217 $300 calls. I bought those on Friday at $1. That one, I was looking at that chart, and it's been on a nice, you know, it's got really nice bullish structure since the big drop in March. I like the structure. I got my attention was pulled towards it from something Vico was posting in the Trade Pro Discord. I think that was one of his swing picks. Looked like it had gotten kind of hammered over the last couple of days, but still pulled in right really nicely into that trend up. I jumped up a couple dollars and then was kind of flagging. It's like, this looks like a really good time to grab this. So I picked those up, low risk trade, something I can, you know, get out of real quick if it doesn't go my way, but also has a really long window to do. Cause I think I'm more of a swing trader. I don't think the day trade on options really suits me all that well. So try to trade to my strengths.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot better than I like the Piton. I already mentioned the sell side. I was really happy with that fill that I got on that. I thought about taking profits the day before, kind of collapsed Friday. I think it was trading around 1160 now. Still up on that trade. I was thinking about actually just selling a covered call when it was closer to 13. I was like, I don't know. I still got shares that I bought at fucking 20, so might as well try to let this, you know, average myself back up a little bit better. let's see. I also sold some Bed Bath & Beyond and Space October calls just to generate a little bit more income. The Bed Bath & Beyond was like a $30 call I sold for over $2. And then Space, this was right before the FAA news came out, and I'm kind of kicking myself for only selling half of the contracts I could have sold. But I picked a strike that was break even. I think it was $35, and I got $1.30 for each of those. But again, I only sold half of the position I could have, because, you know, it looked like it was going up. You could have predicted that the FAA was going to slam it right back down to 25.
Shut them down.
So, at least I got a piece of that. Last thing I did was AMC. When it was running up, I bought two lots of shares at 33.25 a couple weeks ago. Since the stock was trading at like 45, I was like, you know what? I need to just take some profit on this. So I sold a $45 917 call for $5.50.
Ooh.
Yeah. I only sold one of them. I should have done both, because even if that gets exercised, right?
It's a win.
Yeah. Making like $1,200 just on the share price plus an extra $550 for selling that call. Why didn't I sell them both?
Yeah.
Why? Because I got greedy.
It's a good question.
Got greedy. I might sell an October call, pick one where I can get $1,000 in my pocket and just, just maximize whatever I can out of those. Part of the problem is that I want to get rid of those like in the next week to give myself a little more powder, because I just paid myself yesterday and count.
Mm-hmm.
The free cash is getting a little barren.
Right.
A lot of it's, you know, tied up onto those two positions or those 200 shares. Like to get out of those and free up some more cash.
I've got a liquidate here coming up just to do my fucking day trading stuff.
Right.
I mentioned it on our pre-call. I've put together my own risk management strategy, and before you judge me too much, I'm still only risking 3%. But using the Thinkorswim stop losses, I'm going to be using 25% trailing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to have a lot more of a larger position to put on, because I have traditionally been doing like the 3% all or nothing. Like that's the maximum size of the position,
right?
3%. And then like, so I'm going to start trading differently that way. And I'm going to do three lots.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've noticed that I'm not perfect at selecting my entries.
Yeah.
And that by dividing it appropriately, you know, you can help yourself along the way. Like, I'll put in this much. So basically it's like this. Like I put in my first chunk and with the 25% stop loss, it goes up 25%. Well, my stop loss is trailing. So now that first chunk
is at break even.
Worst that happens is I break even.
Yeah.
So then I put in the second chunk. Goes up another 25%. Well, guess what? I put on the third, right?
Okay, so you're buying it as it goes up rather than trying to catch it as it goes down. Okay.
Buying it as it goes up. Correct. If it goes down 25%, I'm out.
Yeah.
That's worst case scenario for me. I'm not adding any more. I'm adding them on the way up. And the second one, I'm going to have a 20% trail. And the third one, I'm going to have a 10% trail.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm actually thinking this with this strategy, like I can just set and forget.
Yeah, you don't really have to stare at it.
Like, it'll turn around and sell me out eventually.
The only problem you'd have is if there's a gap at the end of the day, like when the market closes and opens the next day. That's the only point where you might miss your stops, because it could just blow right through and then you just get whatever you get.
Oh, I would, at the end of the day, I'm just close out. I don't want to hold anything overnight. That always fucks me up.
Yep.
I want to be in cash at the end of the day.
I like it. I want to hear more as you trade that, how it works out for you. I like the staggering your entries, and I like the staggering of the exits too. As we were talking a little bit about this earlier in the week when we were just chatting, but God, I can't remember who said it. I think it was the BAM investor guy. When he was talking about like staggering your entries and exits, like if you're doing all or nothing, like just one level, like basically you're saying that I'm so good at picking my entries that I'm going to get the best price getting in and getting out. Whereas if you divide up your entry into like three or four lots and then you just, you get in, you cost average your entry and your exit, but it gives you a chance to take advantage if the price comes down a little bit, like I did with CVM. Like if I put everything on at 11.25 and then it drops to 10.75, well, you know, I'm kind of fucked. But if I break it up into thirds and I put my bottom entry point there, now I just cost averaged in at 11 instead of having everything, you know, 25 cents higher. And then doing the same thing when you're getting out, you know, take advantage of it as it's coming up and coming down.
I like that more for stocks, but for day trading options, like if I didn't pick the entry on the momentum, like I'd
you just want to be out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When it's just, because I'm looking at those 5-minute charts, you know, I don't want to hold it overnight.
Mm-hmm.
If I badly misjudged, if I misjudged it that badly, then yeah, there's no redeeming that trade.
Right.
When you're only risking 3%, with the method that I am using, it'll take me 20 complete blunders in a row to shrink my account by half.
Okay. Yeah, that's...
I mean, complete blunders in a row.
Right.
So, I'm very comfortable with this risk management strategy.
You have to,
like, if I hit 20 in a row, I need to reevaluate what I'm doing. Sorry, 25.
25 in a row of bad trades, you almost have to try.
Right?
Like, luck should dictate that you at least win, you know, 40% of those, you would think.
I would think. And that's just it. Anything over a third win rate is profit.
Right.
Just risk management, baby.
I love it. Is there anything about futures that you want to talk about before we jump ahead?
I'm just watching the courses. I'm no expert like you.
I'm not an expert at all.
I know.
I just wanted to quickly talk about how the first week of orientation has been going, where I'm not allowed to trade, just watch and observe.
Yeah.
So I've been sharing all the notes on Discord as far as like my observations go. In the morning, I pop up my the levels that I draw out. And then I was actually providing some real-time commentary on it the other day. And I was really happy with how that worked out. Like I called a top, I called a turnaround, I called a couple of points. Like it just felt really good to just see everything kind of coming together and like nailing these like, you know, 5-6 point moves that could have really made a really good profit if I was trading. And like, I got to recommend this to everyone out there. If you're having trouble, just fucking take a week off and just watch.
Yeah.
If nothing else, like, it's given me the discipline to sit something out. And that's something that, you know, that's something I've always struggled with, was that discipline. Like, I got to jump in. I got that opportunity. Well, guess what? There's opportunities all throughout the day. You don't have to take every one.
Mm-hmm. Just from what I've been learning from the videos, by sitting and waiting for the better setup, you're just doing you're waiting for a higher probability trade.
Right.
Like, that's a good thing.
So, last couple of days of watching, I've seen, like, you make enough to basically be done with, to double my daily target. I could double my daily target on just one of those moves the last couple of days. And there's been, like, three or four of them.
One thing I have learned from this whole journey, Kyle, that I can tell everybody wholeheartedly, hands down, there's always going to be another opportunity here.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree with you 100%.
And taking time off, like I know I was just work kept me from trading a lot,
mm-hmm.
but I was still trying to watch when I wasn't working. That really helped me immensely.
Mm-hmm.
Just watching, pick my levels, draw my levels. And then in the morning when I've got 5 minutes and then watch and see what it did that day.
Yeah.
Oh, what did it do when it passed that level? What did the volume look like when it passed that level? Like I can analyze it later.
Or why did it stop at this point? Like what, why was this level important suddenly? Like I didn't identify it before, but why?
Yeah.
So I saved all my notes and screen images for this past week because we talked to George about getting his comments on it. So I sent that over to him yesterday. Mm-hmm. As soon as I get his response, I'll share that on Discord. So anybody else who wants to,
for sure,
who's following along and trying to learn this with us, can learn from what I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I think that wraps up all that. Should we move on? Press on.
Yeah, folks, we don't do earnings anymore. Just go to Yahoo, type earnings,
bastards. It's harder than you think. It's harder than you think. No, it's really not. Yeah.
we got any earnings coming up that you got your eye on, Kyle?
Yeah, I was going to be really defensive until you sent me the earnings whisper post that you found on Yahoo. I was like, oh, yep, that's got all of them that I picked out, except for like two.
Yeah, I found that on Reddit.
Yeah. Let's see. Other seven.
Look here, Kyle, I did your work in 2 seconds because somebody else already did it.
My motto's always been, when I'm right, it's right. So I'll wait and watch the charts and the change in price. When the movement's mostly finished at the end of the day, and we know the coming earnings gonna move it my way. Skyrockets in sight, earnings call delight. Earnings call delight.
Casey's on the 7th. Really like their pizza. 9-8, we've got GameStop, FCell, and Fizz, which is that national beverage company. 9-9, we've got ASO Academy, Cook, COOK, that's Traeger Grills, and Dave and Buster's, PLAY. And on the 10th, we've got Kroger.
Kroger, interesting.
All right, now we can do some crypto.
All right, let's talk about some crypto.
You see, the cult of cryptocurrency.
What's the story we got, Dan? I think we both kind of found the same one.
Was it the counterfeit NFT?
Yes, it was.
some guy hacked Banksy's website and put a fake Banksy NFT digital artwork online for auction.
Mm-hmm.
And it sold for like $325,000.
Yeah.
And in crypto, not cash.
It was Ethereum, right? Yeah.
Yeah, in Ethereum. And yeah, the thing blew up in his face because it was very easily verified that that was in fact counterfeit. And the guy ended up giving the Ethereum back to the purchaser.
It's
minus the transaction fees,
which is pretty substantial with Ethereum. But I mean, I guess it's better than losing it all.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you got duped into paying $325,000 for a fake piece of artwork,
it's
like getting $300,000 back is going to be just fine.
It's funny. Like, I just wonder what was going through this guy's head, because he said that soon he put it in his bid, right, the $335,000 of Ethereum, and he said when his bid was immediately accepted and ended the auction days ahead of schedule, he's like 99% sure that he got fucked.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this may have been fake.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're wondering if this is another one of those ethical hackers trying to prove a point, quote. Or maybe he was just spooked by all the media coverage that the hack received.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's probably the latter.
The latter?
Yeah.
In that situation, the guy's always going to claim to be white hat, right?
It's their best chance of getting out of it or getting away with it, right? Oh, yeah, I meant to do that. Now that everyone's looking, here's your money back.
In that scenario, we can always assume every black hat hacker will pretend to be a white hat.
Yeah.
So, like, and every white hat, of course, they're not going to pretend to be a black hat. Like, it's the two doors. This one always lies. This one always tells the truth. It's like, yeah, well, we can always expect both of them to say, oh, I'm the one who always tells the truth.
Be careful of NFTs, guys. Be careful of NFTs.
Yeah, right? And the artwork wasn't good.
Well,
I mean, it was clever, but it wasn't good art.
The NFT itself or the...
Yeah, did you see the actual work of art that the NFT represented?
I don't understand how this whole thing works. I'm not going to lie.
So, I may be making an assumption here, but like for that work of art, the JPEG itself is embedded into the NFT.
Yeah, but isn't the JPEG supposed to be like an actual work of art? Because that looks like just a bitmap.
Yeah, the dude did it in MS Paint for sure, which is probably why it's so embarrassing to have bought it. But I definitely looked at it and I thought to myself, like, why is Banksy doing 90s, you know, late 80s, early 90s PC art?
Isn't he like a graffiti guy?
Yeah, he's a street artist? Actually has artistic talent.
Yeah, but he does like his medium is like cans of spray paint and like old dilapidated buildings.
It's almost exclusively public stuff. He has done some works that have been sold in galleries.
Okay. Probably not using Bitmap.
No, probably not.
I actually got a chance to play with some of my crypto holdings this week, though.
Oh, what'd you do?
Remember when I first dipped my toes in the water, I bought some Cardano and Mana.
Mm-hmm.
Which is that, God, which one was Mana? Mana was that one that's like a token for like this whole like VR world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Cardano actually was doing really well. I think I gained about 33%. So I took all the profits out of that, and then I just pushed it into Ethereum. And then all the free coins that I've been getting, I think I took about half of all of those, and I've just been moving as much into Ethereum as I can.
Very nice.
I made about 10% on that so far, I think, something like that.
Oh, since you first started getting Ethereum?
Yeah. So, yeah, really liking Ethereum. All right, anything else for crypto?
Not that I remember.
Well, then draw, motherfucker.
Oh, fuck, he got me.
Pew, pew.
All right, well, you want to go first since you won the drawdown?
Sure. My good has got to be the futures. Just my timeout calling that top and dump. That's not the first time either. It just feels really good to feel it and see it all come together. Like, I know it probably isn't a good thing to be excited to go live, but man, I'm really excited to continue growing my knowledge and turning this into a career.
Well, how could you not get more excited the more that it actually all clicks in your brain and the more you realize, I can do this, I am doing this?
Yeah, it's definitely...
You have to be excited about that.
I'm excited, but I need to figure out a way to kind of tone down the excitement, because as we've learned, being too emotionally high is just as bad as being too emotionally low, but still feels really good, and I'm going to take that victory while I can. What was your good? I think I know what it is.
My good, the Disney.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 30 minutes for 100% gain.
Yes, please. More of that.
Felt good. Yeah, more of like identifying my levels, seeing it cross my level and being like, trade. And then took me 30 minutes. The momentum was strong and then be like, done. I really dig the trading options on companies that are between $150 and $200 in price. Because like we talked about before, $1 of options is $1 of options. You know,
right.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't care what the price of the share is. But when like Disney, when it's at $180, like 1% move
is
$1.80.
Pretty impressive. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's a good options move. Like, yeah, so you can, you know, we get 1-2% moves in these stocks every day. That's standard, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that was definitely my good, because it was all process, and then the result was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. What was your bad?
My bad was not following my plan on the Exxon. Like, I know you consider it good because I protected profit, but that's why it's not my ugly. I consider it a bad to me because I did not follow the process. It was because I got out on for emotional reasons.
Right.
You know, the reason I made the trade was bad.
Yeah, I can see how you can take a bad out of that, but I don't think you should be too critical of that, because anything you're doing to protect your capital is going to be good in my book.
I guess we're not the same person. Weird.
I understand what you're saying, and I don't think that's... I think you're right as far as, process, not following your process. But at least your emotional decision, I'm saying, is went the way of saving you rather than hurting you. You didn't double in.
It's true. If I'm going to make an emotional trade, this is the best way to do it.
Yep. So I think, it's good bad, but it's also, you could take some good out of it too, I think.
Well, It just means I'm getting better as a trader.
Yeah, it's getting scary good.
what was your ugly?
My bad or my ugly?
Oh, you didn't say your bad yet. Yeah, what was your bad?
Well, my bad and my ugly are kind of the same. So it's going to be Peloton. Okay. Peloton calls. Peloton.
Yeah.
My bad is, I got out at a small loss, but I wanted to get out the day before, and I should have gotten out the day before. I could have saved myself. Basically, I could have broke even if I would have done it when I knew that the trade was over.
Yeah.
The ugly was that I shouldn't have been trading Peloton in general anyway, because I wasn't really... like, going back and thinking about it now, like, I'm trying to figure out what I was thinking and why I wanted to be in it to begin with, and I think I was just getting a little... just excited, overexcited about just trying to make something happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to call that my ugly, too. What was yours?
My ugly was those VIXI calls. You called me out on the Discord, rightfully so. I've been looking at SPY puts. So, I saw the Discord user posted some order flow stuff
VIX. A ton of call options.
It was like, hey, somebody just bought a bunch of call options on the VIX. So... I was like, oh, well, that'll go up if the S&P, if SPY gets volatile. Yep. And starts shooting down. So I bought a couple of them at 60 cents and I ended up selling them at 30 cents. So, you know, got in for the wrong reasons at the wrong time, bad timing. I was really excited when George picked it for the month, but my call options were not dated for the whole month. So... I just moved out of them.
I want to go back to what you said about the order flow. I think the problem was that you didn't look closely at the order flow to see what that was indicating. Yeah, because all those trades were at the bid, and not the ask, so that indicated bearish sentiment. So what it looked like was somebody was selling a shitload of those calls.
You're right.
I think I was in the middle of asking that when you'd already bought them. I was like, oh, fuck.
I bought them.
Get out. You're on the wrong side. So,
that was my ugly. That was my ugly. Mm-hmm.
Yep, I see it. I believe it. Let's do. Let's do a bet. Let's wrap this thing up.
In the center of a universe. Bet for every one of us. Consequence for one of us. Make our picks with no regret. Every open, every close, every spread is the mighty bet.
All right. Well, I'm looking at... I got three options to choose from here. I like CVM. Been watching that. I like Boeing. And now that the random has opened up the door, I actually kind of like Ethereum, too.
Ooh. But
I feel like Ethereum has been on a nice run lately, so I'm not sure I want to jump into that. I think what I want to do is go Boeing. Yeah, I think I'm going to go Boeing, and I'm going to put a stop loss at 209. Actually, let's do...
Boeing...
Yeah, do I want to 209 or do I want to 205? Yeah, let's stick with 209. 209 seems safer. And I want to take some profit at 240. So if it hits 240, I'm taking half.
Ambitious.
And then obviously if it hits that, then my stop loss is moving to my entry point.
Okay.
What are you going for?
I am going for eBay.
Ah, interesting.
I am looking at... the last month, it hit new highs at August 30th, topped out at about 77, 75-ish, and then it's gone down, and it's just been, like, ranging and consolidating right around 76.50.
Mm-hmm.
And it closed the week at 76.53. So, I'm the previous high was at 76.21. It's holding this as support on this range. So I'm really feeling good about eBay.
I like it. I think you've had eBay a couple times, and it's done well, if not like crazy.
The problem is timing it on a market open.
I know, right?
that's really the thing. So I'm gonna put my stop at 75.75.
Okay.
And I'm gonna do a half profit. At 79, moving my stop loss up to 78 at that point.
Okay. I cannot find my random stock picker. Well, I just pulled up another one. So, apparently it wants to go with AT&T.
Oh, God. Okay. So, okay. AT&T.
Public utilities type company, too. Hmm.
Well.
AT&T is supposed to be splitting soon. Splitting off some of its Discovery holdings, I think, right?
Yeah.
It'd be interesting if random ends up with two positions somehow. Random's really stepped up its game lately.
Yeah. Stupid Random.
Right?
At least AT&T is on a current bear structure.
Yes. See if it can continue. At least it's one that won't move like crazy either. Did we do it, Dan?
Oh, God, we did. Oh, we're here at the end. Oh, shit. I didn't even realize it. Look at the clock.
Yeah.
Oh, folks, it's getting far too late. It's past my bedtime. I need a nap. I'm going to have to close up the shop for the day. Thank you so much for joining us. We're so glad you're here in the shop with us. It's always better with friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just delighted. And like, share, let your friends know what a great time it is here in the shop.
Leave us some reviews, please. I'd love to read some of those.
And don't hesitate to give us a call. You know, you got any stocks that you want us to do a technical analysis on, you can reach out to us. We'd love to do it for you. We love to work those skills.
Yes, we do.
And until next time, happy trades.
Bye. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.